stand. Well, let's stand one more time, please. Let's turn to hymn 431. 431, Silent Night. Let's sing together. Hymn 431. Great singing, and I enjoy singing those Christmas songs, obviously during Christmas, but special on Christmas Day, and I appreciate you being here tonight. Obviously, I think it's a great way to, I guess, end our Christmas Day, and that's in church, singing about the Lord and hearing about the Lord and worshiping Him. And so, I've asked Jason to sing my favorite, so you can go ahead and come this way, brother, O Holy Night, and I'm kind of biased since he's my son, but he does my favorite rendition of this. I mean, there's, you know, Groban and, you know guys that can kind of sing that do it as well, but Jason does my favorite rendition of Old Holy Night. So.
Appeared, and the soul felt its
Christmas hymn, that, you know, all of them's good. Talk about Jesus and what he did for us, things like that. But I enjoyed that one, Old Holy Night. And so, anyway, I've also asked Jason to do the devotion, and he's been working at a church now for how long? 4 months. And some of y'all remember he was in Spain and then came home and worked at a church in Atlanta for a little while, and was looking, and obviously we were praying for him. Here and asking the Lord to show him where he was supposed to be, and I believe he has, and he's been wide open up there in Virginia, and just getting different responsibilities, and he feels like he's supposed to pastor one day, but wanted to be an assistant to kind of just, I guess, get, you know, get some things under his feet and go that way, and then I believe the Lord's opened that door for him, and so he's serving up there. At Heritage Baptist Church. But he's going to do the devotion tonight, and I've heard it. He's told me about what it is, and I think you're going to enjoy it. And so, brother, you come and give us the devotion, and I'll be back, and we'll close the service in the way I was talking about a while ago.
All right, if you'll take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 2 with me. This evening, we're going to be trying to focus a little bit on the wise men and their gifts. I don't know if Dad's already done that. If so, my bad. But that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, is Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to just read the whole chapter. It won't take me too terribly long, but that way we can get the whole entire story, and we'll focus on it in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 2, we'll start in verse number 1. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among of the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled with that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. All right, so I think for the most part, a familiar story. These wise men, they came to visit Herod. We're all very familiar with this story. The funny thing to me about the wise men is that this is the only mention of them. This is the only time we get to hear about the wise men and so in the entire Bible. And so it tells us that they came to visit the Savior, and after they did that, they departed, and then we don't ever hear anything else about them ever again. And so there's a lot of speculation about these wise men. A lot of people trying to figure out more about the wise men. And the truth is, maybe some people have figured it out, maybe they've got it right, but the Bible doesn't say it. So we just don't know 100% sure. But when we're looking at this story, we see in verse number 2 that they came to visit Herod, the king of Jerusalem. And it seems like they probably followed this star all the way to Jerusalem. And then I'm not sure if it disappeared or if they were just not really sure. Like maybe it was just big and it wasn't given like a specific location. And it says that that's why they visited Herod. They were having trouble either figuring it out or seeing it. And so they went to the ruler of the city of Jerusalem. And they said, where is he born king of the Jews? And so obviously this kind of upset the ruler of Jerusalem, the king of the Jews. He had a problem with this, but he obviously didn't know what was going on, and so he went to his advisors and said, what are these guys talking about? You know, what they said that a ruler was born, so what are they talking about? And they said, okay, yeah, Micah said at one point that there was going to be a governor come that was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so he says, okay, all right, so it's supposed to be Bethlehem. So he went and he told the wise men, he said, okay, go to Jerusalem, or go to Bethlehem, that's where you're supposed to be, and find the wise men, or find the baby, and then come back and tell me about it. Obviously, we know he had some negative plans, but he said, you guys go, and you come and tell me about it. But then we see in verse number 9 and verse number 10, that after they left Herod, It says that they left, and it says the star appeared and went before them and stood over the house that the Savior was in. And it says they rejoiced. That's why I'm thinking that they may have, maybe the star had disappeared. Maybe the star, you know, maybe they didn't know or they couldn't discern it, because now it felt very clear. It says they followed that star all the way to the house. And so that's what it says in verse 10, they greatly rejoiced about it. And so they were excited about this star and it taking them all the way to Bethlehem. And so if you look it up, you can look it up even today. Jerusalem, the city center of Jerusalem, is about 6 miles to Bethlehem. And so they had to go from Jerusalem all the way to Bethlehem and find the house that it was standing over and find our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, like I said, there's a bunch of different ideas about these wise men, but all the Bible really tells us is that they would be from the east. All right, so east of Jerusalem. All right, so, you know, there's a lot in this world that's east of Jerusalem. And so that's all it really tells us about it. But it says wise men. When you're looking up the difference between what it means, the translations of wise men, some think it means because the Old Testament tells us that kings will bring gifts to the Savior. So sometimes they mean, sometimes people say wise men, they think they're kings. Sometimes they just think they're astrologers. And that kind of makes sense maybe because they found the star. And so they would have been looking at the star. And so maybe that was the case. But all we really know about them is that they were looking for Christ's coming. They were studying the stars well enough to, when they saw the star, they knew that was the one that meant that Jesus Christ had been born, and they went looking for him. And so that's all we really know, is that they came from the east. But as my dad said a second ago, my wife and I, we had the opportunity to be missionaries in Spain for several years, and this time of year is funny for Americans in the country because Spain does not celebrate Christmas like we celebrate Christmas. I remember when our first Christmas in the country of Spain, we went to go buy a tree, all right? And we like real trees. We don't like the artificial trees. We have an artificial tree because of Spain, but we always wanted to have us a real tree. So we went and we found the closest nursery that was going to sell Christmas trees, and we went and we found a tree that was about this tall, and only about half of it had limbs on it, the bottom half. The rest of it had like 2 or 3 branches up top. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen. And it was going to be like 150 euros to be able to buy this ugly thing. And I didn't feel like putting it in my living room. And so we were kind of forced because of that to go buy an artificial tree. So we just went to the store and we bought probably about a 6-foot tree. It was a nice shape and, you know, it was fine. And we set it up in our living room and you could see it from the road. We did the American thing. We put it in the window so everyone could see your tree from the window. And I remember people walking past our house going, "Oh my word, why in the world do you have a tree that big?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? That's only 6 foot. We've had trees bigger than that before." And they were like, "That's massive." And so then we found out what they meant. We got invited to a couple friends' houses, and all of their trees were like the 2-foot ones that sit on the tabletop. That was their whole tree. We had one friend who had a kid, and so he said, rather than having the mess of the tree for the kid, they had taken like that fake grass, like that green, you know, like plastic basically, and taped it to the wall in the shape of a tree. That was their tree for Christmas. And so they just don't celebrate Christmas quite like we do. Their idea of Christmas isn't Santa Claus, or, you know, they do talk about Jesus Christ, but their idea of Christmas is these three kings, or what they call the three kings. But it's not celebrated on December 25th. It's celebrated on January 10th. And it's called Three Kings Day. That's what they celebrate. And so the idea behind it is every year on January 10th, there's a large parade in your town, and the three kings will arrive. All right. And so, like I said, they've gotten real specific, okay? They know exactly where they're from. They know what country they're from. They've even got names. And they know who gave which gift. And so they come in one at a time, and one is from somewhere in Europe, one's from India, one's from Africa, and they come in, and everybody in the town is supposed to go to this big parade, and you go out for the day, and then when you go home, your presents are supposed to be, your gifts are supposed to be under the tree that the wise, or the three kings have dropped off. All right, so these three wise men, you know, and that's the thing, the Bible doesn't even tell us that there's three, but, you know, because there's three gifts, everyone assumes that there's only three. And so it tells us that that's their theory on it. And so, like I said, there's a lot of theories on who these wise men were. But we see what I like about this chapter especially is how many times you hear and the prophet said, or and it was prophesied. And you hear over and over and over again how God told everyone, before it ever happened, exactly what was going to happen. And it worked out, just like he said. Micah 5:2 is where we see, we won't take the time to turn over there, but Micah 5:2 is where we see the prophet saying that what advisor said, that Bethlehem, you are not the least of these, because out of you will come the governor. We see that Luke 2 sent them all to Nazareth. Okay, so Joseph, Mary, they were both from Nazareth. All right, Joseph was a Nazarene. His family was there. That's where he grew up. He met his wife there, or his fiance at the time there. That's where him and Mary both fell in love. That's where we found out that Mary was going to have a baby. And so we were in Nazareth for a long time, and we've made it all the way through pregnancy. We're almost to the time where she's supposed to have her baby, and then Caesar Augustus declares that all the world should be taxed. And they have to go back to where they're from, or where their line is from, to be taxed this way. And so here is Joseph and a pretty much 9 months pregnant lady deciding, maybe when they started, she wasn't quite 9 months, but by the time they got there, she was, started traveling all the way from Nazareth all the way south to Bethlehem. And that's a 90-mile journey. All right? And so you think, well, 90 miles, that's not terrible. You know, and it really isn't for us that have vehicles with air conditioning and we can drive down the interstate the 90 miles, but they had to walk part of it, maybe rode a donkey for part of it. They had to go through Samaria. They had to go through places that were not necessarily safe. They could have been taken advantage of. They could have been injured. It would have been rough terrain. And so Joseph and his 9 months, pregnant wife his wife at the time, had to go all the way from Nazareth to Jerusalem. When Jessica was expecting the kids, she made it about 3 months traveling with me on deputation, and then the doctor said she wasn't allowed to travel anymore. And so I remember, how uncomfortable she was, and how she was pretty much, don't touch me, that type of thing. She was not comfortable. And so I can't imagine me saying to my wife, "All right, Jessica, I know that you're 8 months pregnant, but I need you to get on a donkey and walk with me 90 miles so we can go pay some taxes." All right, that wouldn't have been fun, but that's what happened. All right, so God worked this all out. Right, He told us through Micah that Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, and then He caused Caesar Augustus to tax the entire world. So Joseph and Mary had to go all of the way back. Then we see later in the chapter, after the wise men went back to their country and avoided Herod, Herod had them kill every 2-year-old and under in all of Bethlehem. And it says that there was weeping. Well, it says that Jeremy, the prophet, told us that. That's Jeremiah in the Old Testament. And we see that he did in fact tell us. Let me see what chapter it was. Jeremiah 31:15 is the exact verse that it tells us that there's going to be weeping in Ramah because of this great torment. And then we see one of the prophets says that he shall be called a Nazarene. One of the prophets says that he will be called out of Egypt. So God is over and over showing us that all those years ago, he prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. He even prophesied that gifts will be given to the king. And we can see that in Isaiah 60 verse 6 and Psalm 72 verse 10. And so we see all the way through this chapter where God has said, "See, I told you. I told you I was going to work it out." He prophesied that it was going to happen, and it happened. But tonight, really what I want us to focus on, just for a couple minutes, is the gifts. These special gifts, all right? So my kids, they have been looking forward to today opening up their presents. Last night, I finally... I think that I probably got this trait from my dad because, when we were young, mom and dad, they would put the presents out before Christmas Eve, and any chance I got, I'd pick them up and I'd shake them, and I'd be trying to figure out what it was. If it didn't make any noise, it was closed. And so I tried to figure it out, and I don't know if they just got busy and decided not to do it, or if they saw me shaking it and decided. But they would, for the most part, as I got older, they wouldn't put the presents out there until Christmas Eve. I'd go to bed, nothing under the tree, and I'd come out Christmas morning, and everything was there. And so I've kind of adopted that philosophy. But last night I put them out before the kids had officially gone to bed. I put the presents out, and I saw Megan, looking around and seeing if she could find her name. And they were trying to figure out how many they had under the tree. And so I know that gifts are a big part of Christmas for us, and I think that this is a big reason why. Christ, you know, and we believe that that this was probably a couple years after the fact that Christ was born. He was probably about 2 years old at the time. And so, but he received these gifts. These wise men came from the east to bring him these gifts. And so, like I said, I want to focus on these three gifts, this gold, this frankincense, and this myrrh. And every single gift has a meaning, so they brought them to their king, so it has a more kingly meaning. Then they all had a spiritual meaning, and then they had more of a human meaning as well. And so we're going to look at the meaning they had for the king, because it says they brought them. Where is he, born king of the Jews? And so they came to visit a king, and so they brought their gifts to a king. And so we see the first one, gold. If you're visiting a king, first thing you're going to want to do is bless him monetarily. All right, that's a way of showing him respect. And so that's what they did. They brought him gold. They brought this monetary gift for a king. Then they brought him frankincense, and this was a very sweet smelling perfume. And they were trying to butter him up and to make him smell good. And then the myrrh was an ointment that they could anoint someone with, which happened every time someone was crowned king. And so so they brought these three gifts for a king. And they thought through the process, and they did their very best to bring these gifts for the king. But these gifts, they also have a spiritual meaning as well. And so the spiritual meaning of gold is the spirit of kingship on earth. All right? How many of y'all have gold sitting at home? All right, none of us, okay? All right, but if we were the king of a country, we'd probably have some gold bars stashed somewhere. But this is that spirit of kingship here on earth. As gold, it proved that Christ himself was king, king of the Jews, king of the world. And so then we see the frankincense, this spiritual meaning is a spirit or symbol of deity. All right, and so not only was he our earthly king, not only was he king of the Jews, but he was our God. This frankincense proved that he was Lord. You know, if he was just, we've got a couple babies in here tonight, and you know, the truth is if, I mean, these babies, I mean, even as cute as they are, that baby over there is really cute, but as cute as they are, it's just a baby. It's not God. She can't do anything for us. I mean, she can provide you guys joy and love, but she can't save us from our sins. And so they brought this gift to show, yes, we believe that you are king, but we also believe that this child is God. This child is our Savior, our Christ. And then myrrh, which was mostly an embalming oil, like I said, they brought it as a symbol of anointing, but this spiritual meaning would have been this embalming oil or this symbol of death. All right, you know, when we die, when we get buried, we have to be embalmed before we're put in the ground. And so they recognized as they came to bring these gifts to Christ that, number one, he was our king here on earth. He was ruler of all. Number two, he was God in the flesh. And then number three, he came specifically to die. And they knew that. They knew that when they saw his star in the, you know, from the east. They traveled from the east and they said, we know that he has come to be our Savior. And so they brought him this gift with a spiritual meaning. And then just the more earthly or more human meaning, the gold symbol symbolized virtue, symbolized, you know, that wealth. The frankincense, because it was that perfume, it was sort of an incense that represented prayer. They wanted to pray to God. And then myrrh, because of that embalming oil, it represented suffering, which we knew Christ would have to suffer to die on the cross. And so, again, they brought all of these gifts, these wonderful, thoughtful, probably the best they had type of gifts for God. And so, my conclusion is a couple minutes long, so I'm going to go ahead and get into my conclusion. But when we see these wise men bringing these gifts, these wise men, they traveled from a far country. That's all we know. All right, we know that they traveled. And the truth is, if they had seen the star the second he was born, they could have been traveling for about 2 years. They could have been traveling a long, long time. No matter where it was that they came from, they traveled a good ways. It says they came from the east. And so they traveled a long, long time. We don't know exactly where they traveled from, but they had been traveling a while to get there. And that means that they followed the star for a very long time. And then when they got there, this is kind of a thought that I had when I was reading this and praying about it. when they got there, I honestly wondered if they thought they'd have to wait in line to worship Christ. You know, here He is, our Savior. When we finally get there, is there going to be a line of people just standing outside His house waiting to worship Him? And when they got there, nobody was worshiping Him. They went straight to the door, they knocked on the door, and they were let right in. The Jews themselves, here He is, King of the Jews, and you know, I think it would be hard if I walked in with a brand new baby and I said, "All right, guys, this guy right here, this little baby, he's more important than any of you, and he will be your king. Worship him." All right? We'd think he's a baby. You know, why would we worship him? Maybe that's what people thought. But the Jews themselves couldn't be bothered with worshiping him. When I think about this, when I think about what the wise men did, we should worship Christ because He's deserving of it. We live in a world where people do not worship our Lord and Savior. They worship themselves. They worship other people. They worship those that are famous or those that are wealthy. They don't worship the one who's deserving of our worship. And even if we're the only ones that are doing it, we should worship God. We should give God that glory. They were led by that star the entire way there. We are also led of God, who is the light of the world. We are led by His Spirit. And what we should do is do what the disciples did. When we are led of God, we should rejoice exceedingly. We should praise the Lord for it. And we should be listening and looking just like the disciples were for His leading. And when He calls us, we should follow. And so, I think to myself, what was the wise men's reaction when they got there? All right, they've come looking for the King of the Jews. And I wonder if that's why they went to the palace at first. They went straight to visit the ruler of Jerusalem, Herod. They went to this palace and that wasn't the King of the Jews. That wasn't the one they were looking for. And when they got there, they found this little house, one little baby in there, or one little two-year-old in there maybe, and a mom and a dad, and that's it. And so I have a feeling they could have been underwhelmed. They could have thought, wow, is this it? We traveled up to 2 years for this? That's it? You know, I know that can happen to some of us sometimes. We can build up something so much in our heads, and when it actually happens or when we actually see it, it can be a little disappointing. And so, but the Bible tells us that when they got there, they gave Him gifts, many, many gifts. They bowed down and worshipped Him. And so that's what we see in the verse where it tells us that they presented Him with the gifts. The first thing it says is that they bowed down and worshipped Him. So the first thing we see that they actually gave Him was themselves. They honored Him because He deserved it. And then they gave Him gifts. And so just my last thought before I close, they gave Him these gifts, these three things. And like I said a second ago, they came to visit a king. They came to visit our God, and they came to visit our sacrifice, the one that was going to die on the cross for our sins. And so I think as they were planning this, okay, they saw the star, they got their plan together, they said, "We're going to go visit Him." I don't think they picked up something, you know, like, what do we just have lying around? This would have been the best gift they could possibly give. You know, my wife and I, we've been guilty of this before. We've gotten invited to a kid's birthday party, and we forgot all about it until the day of, and then we said, "Let's swing by Dollar General real quick and get the kid something on the way." We can all be guilty of that, but these wise men, they planned this out. They were going to go visit their Savior, and so I believe that they brought Him the very best that they could bring. And so as we're thinking about God this time of year, thinking about Christ and what He did on the cross for us, the whole reason that He came at this time, we should do what these disciples, or I keep saying disciples, but what these wise men did. Number one, we should give ourselves. The Bible tells us that's the very least that we can do, that it's only a reasonable sacrifice, that we may, you know, present our bodies a holy sacrifice unto Him. And so we should give ourselves. And then, number two, we should do what these wise men did, and give Him our very best. Not just the leftovers, not just the afterthought, but give God our very best because He deserves it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, for giving us the opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, thank You so much for sending Your Son to be born for our sins. Lord, we thank You and praise You that we can worship You and celebrate You this time of year. Thank You, God, for all You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that, and obviously agreed with every bit of it. And tonight Brother Derek's going to come in a minute, and he's going to lead us in a closing song. Instead of closing in prayer tonight, we're going to close in a song. And I've asked him to lead us in "O Come All Ye Faithful." And I got to thinking about this, obviously, during this time, coming to the end of the year, another year older for me, another year older for you, another year older for Lighthouse Baptist Church, things like that. And I got to thinking about all the people involved. And there's some people that this is your first Christmas as a Christian. We've had some people that's gotten saved this year. And I mean, "O come all ye faithful," the chorus goes, "O come, let us adore him." So just like those wise men or disciples, whichever they were, gotcha. All right, they came to worship. And so if this year is your first year of being a Christian, you got something to adore him for. And then I got to thinking about some people, and there's people in here that this is their first year of marriage. Amen. First year of marriage, and they can say, "Hey, we got married this year, and you know, hopefully it's working out pretty good, and you can come and adore the Lord for it." Then there's some people that have joined this church. God's led them from whatever state and brought them here. And you say, "This is my first year as a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church." And I hope that you're satisfied with your church. I hope you're excited about your church. And you're like, "Man, I want to go adore the Lord for him leading me here." And that's all good stuff. Salvation, woo! All right, marriage, yes. All right, church membership, great. But also this year, we've had some people in and out of the hospital all year long. But they're still here, and God's brought them through. And so they could say, "I want to come adore him." There's several, I could list several of them that we didn't know that they were going to be here at Christmas time. There's some still sick, but they're still here. But just like salvation and in marriage and church membership and even health issues, there's some people in this church that I love that I wouldn't have picked what they've went through this year for them. And it was hateful. It was hurtful. I mean, they've just been hanging on. But that whole time they've been going through that disappointment or that heartache, guess who's been right with them? And yeah, they're still alive, and yeah, it still hurts. But their Savior is faithful, and he's right there. He's helped them through that. So when you come down to the end of the year, obviously, you know, Christmas, we culminate the year with Christmas and then New Year's, things like that. He's been faithful, and we get to be a part of that. And so when I think about that, all those things, salvations, marriages, memberships, hurts, health issues, but our God is faithful, and he helped us through all those things. Some things we might not have chosen, but God allowed it to happen. Amen. And so I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then as soon as I finish praying, Brother Derek's going to lead us in, "O Come All Ye Faithful." I want you to sing it from your heart. And like I say, you can pray right there. I'm going to open the altar up. If you'd like to come down here and adore him, the altar is open, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to just kind of help us remember some of those things as I'm praying. And so let's all stand. If you'd like to come to the altar is open. And like I said, I'll lead you in a word of prayer. And then we'll have Brother Derek dismiss us in that. "O come all you faithful." Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for a great day you've given us, Lord, and a time for family and a time for our church. And Lord, we thank you for all that. But like we heard tonight, Lord, it was planned for you to come and you to be born and to be our Savior. And you are our King. And Lord, I ask you to help us to do like we heard tonight, Lord, present ourselves a living sacrifice unto you. But Lord, we do thank you collectively as our church. Lord, I thank you for saving the ones that you saved this year. Lord, I thank you for the ones you put together in marriage this year. I thank you for the ones that you've allowed to join our membership. And Lord, we thank you for all that. Lord, we thank you for causing miracles to happen, leading doctors and helping medications work to help these ones that have been struggling with their health all year. And Lord, I ask you to continue to do that as well. And Lord, and there have been some that have went through some heartaches, and some struggles. But Lord, you've been right there with them. Just like the Bible says, if I ascend to the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If we're saved, we can't get anywhere that you're not. And we thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for how faithful you have been to each individual. Thank you for how faithful you have been to our church. And Lord, I ask you to help us all, Lord, individually and collectively, to just present our bodies a living sacrifice and say, Lord, there have been some failures this year. But Lord, we're sorry for that. Help us to get back up like that just man and go forward. And Lord, we just ask you to just bless each individual, bless each relationship, bless each person that is sick. Lord, be with the ones that are out of town. Keep them safe as they travel. And Lord, we do ask you to give us another great year of service here at Lighthouse Baptist Church and come in adoring our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Christmas, and you are dismissed.